Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow the Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Carson Anderson, 97.1, 248-539-9797. Okay, so a lot of Piston talk last hour. Had Tiger talk to open the show, and if you want to use the rewind feature, go back to listen to all that with the Odyssey app. Feel free, AUDACY, download it for your mobile device today. You'll be glad you had it at some point. Very impressive performance last night for Tarik Skubal and the Tigers. We'll talk more about it a little bit later on. NBA play-in action continues tonight. You got the Hawks and Magic in the 7-8 game in the East. And you've got the Grizzly and Warriors in the 7-8 game in the West. The winner goes on to be the 7 seed for the regular playoffs. The loser will play Thursday. Tomorrow are the 9-10 games. In the East, it's Heat and Bulls. Loser's out. In the West, it's Mavericks-Kings. Loser's out. The winner advances to play in the Thursday game against the loser of the Tuesday games. Got all that? Easy to follow, right? Pistons await their first game on Saturday against the New York Knicks. That is the only game that's been scheduled thus far. Once they have the playing field set, I hope they come out with the standings or the rest of the schedule so we can all go buy the tickets, man. There's tickets available, but they're geofenced to people in our immediate area, which is cool, but bottom line is I can't make that commitment. I want to. I want to take the kids and go have a good time, but until we know what time the games are, then we'll sort it all out. But Gator, I wanted to bring this up because yesterday was a busy day, and I just felt like it's something that impacts a lot of us. I was stunned on Saturday when we got up north. We have a house, it's a Harbor Springs address, but it's not really in Harbor Springs. It's out of town. I feel like it's closer to Petoskey than Harbor, but that's irrelevant. We got a place up north. Your family had a place up north forever. I know a lot of people do have vacation spots. And I knew, because we got so many emails about, from various utility companies, and we're actually on a property that has a management company that was offering up updates on what was going on. We knew that the ice storm that hit, I guess about 10, 11 days ago now, was bad. I was shocked when you got up there and see it. And it really is amazing because some places look forever altered. Other places looked, I don't want to say untouched, but and we were very fortunate. Our house and our property had down trees along the driveway, which the crew cleared, but there was a tree that fell up against our house, but it doesn't look like it did any damage.
Thankfully.
Yes. In the back, there's a deck area where there was tons of down trees and branches that didn't do any damage. We just removed them from rubbing up against the house or on the banisters. We're going to have a crew come and help clear all that. But we told them we're not the priority. We're up here every once in a while. You do what you got to do. When you can get around to our house, that'll be great. And they're saying that almost 1 million acres of state forest land has been impacted by the storm. And so we went driving through the Boyne Highlands Golf Course, and from the road, I was seeing two holes I'd never seen before because they were always behind the cover of trees. Many of those trees are gone. Many more are shaved off, collapsed under the weight at the tops of the trees. It's going to be a long cleanup. There were utility trucks everywhere. Yeah. You know, the big white ones with the bucket on the back and the mm-hmm. long extension arm. And as we drove around, right, you'd see areas and you go, man, this looks different because of the, what happened to the trees. Where it looked the worst, though, so we drove, when we left on Sunday morning, we drove south out of the Petoskey Harbor Springs area and down to Boyne Mountain. And on the drive down there, I'm like, this area got impacted, but it doesn't look like as much as where our house was. And we got south and we made that left on M32, which mm-hmm. takes you through Elmira.
And goes towards Gaylord.
And goes to Gaylord. And as we got through Elmira, that stretch from Elmira to Gaylord was the worst that I saw. Wow. At one point, driving along, I'm like, I never knew there was a lake there. But all these trees were knocked down. When we got...
Like Gaylord like, Country Club.
When we got to the Gaylord Country Club area, which is a north-south portion of the road, there was a stretch there that looked like a nuclear holocaust. I mean, wow. The trees were reduced to toothpicks. And it was all ice that froze on and the weight. The trees were collapsing under the weight. Branches were collapsing under the weight. I couldn't believe how bad it was. And, you know, it was funny. We were driving up Saturday morning. We got up really, really early because we had, you know, we were just going to try and up and back. We got up, I was driving along. It was south of Grayling that I first noticed, but it really is a bit of hit and miss. And look, there are 12 counties now under the governor's state of emergency declaration. The priority is, according to the stories I was reading out of there, is to get the state forest roadways and all the roadways, the general transportation access, get all that cleared. And I know it's a big part of being a Michigander is getting up north. It's a big part of, you know, I know many people own properties up north. I feel for the people that really had damage because, you know, a part of that is getting out and escaping into the woods and being, and a lot of the woods is gone. And I don't want to overstate it because in some areas you're like, huh, this area got lucky. And others, it looked bad.
Well, I mean, there's so many trees up there. That's the other thing is when you drive, people love to drive up in the fall, the early fall, so to see the colors, right?
Yeah.
And when you're on that stretch of 75 and you're north of Gaylord and you're going more towards the bridge and it gets hilly and then you get to the crest of the hill and you see all the beautiful colors of the trees. It's awesome. But to think that that's just a sea of downed trees or the tops of them have all broken off because of the way of the ice. It's devastating. I was actually talking to my cousin last night who lives in just outside Madison, Wisconsin, and he's got a cabin a little bit further north of where he's at there. And I was asking him about, did you get some damage? He's like, yeah, I haven't had a chance to go up there yet, but I've talked to some people up there and they say that they were out of power for 5 days and that there are trees down everywhere and it's incredible. And, you know, it's like 2/3 of the tree itself is gone because of it all breaking off. And now the concern is that, you know, there might be, if there's decay, is the disease, are the trees diseased? And is that going to, you know, spread from one tree to the next? And you worry about how much has to be cleared out. And it's a real undertaking, man, to have to clear out all that dead wood, so to speak.
You know, it's pretty amazing because you don't realize how much of a difference just, and I mean this, a lot of areas, it felt like just the top third or the top half of a tree was lopped off. But there was so much of that, it things looked different. It completely changed the feel. And I don't know, does this kill the trees? Do they recover from this? I'm not sure, but 248-539-9797 If you have a place up there, I don't know if you got a chance to get up there. Were you lucky? Did you escape the damage? I know some people, we were driving past houses, and all I could do is assume that they've had severe damage because there'd be giant tarps over portions of houses. Man, it's tough because that's just such a big part of summertime in our state. We're coming up to it, and I think this is going to take months. I mean, it's even like you're driving along 75 and you're just seeing piles and piles and piles and piles of wood chips, and you realize they've come through, they've cleared these trees out, they've chipped it all up, and they've just left the wood chips. But there were so many areas with wood chippers are going to get a lot of work.
Yeah, right.
And you could hear them constantly when you were outside. So we had to, you know, do some chainsaw work and all that, which was actually kind of fun. But again, it's a lot easier for us just because we escaped. You know, there were some areas where the house was scratched up. We'll see with the tree that fell in our garage if it did any damage. It really didn't look like it to the naked eye when we got up there and looked around. But, man, 248-539-9797.
Lots of firewood.
Let's go to Phil in St. Clair Shores. Hi, Phil.
Hey, guys. Good morning. Hey, listen, we got a place due east of Petoskey there. And it's in Onaway.
Yeah.
And we were getting reports, you know, from the power company, PIE&G, up there. And down one stretch of the 211 that goes into Black Lake, where the UAW center is.
Yeah.
We have at least 30 poles all snapped along that main highway. And it's our place got spared up there. We had trees come down. I don't know. Maybe it was an act of God. But we had a pair of trees fall one way, and the other part of it fell the other way. Missed all the mailboxes, missed the garage, missed the power lines. It was an act of God. But I'm hitting up tomorrow with chainsaws, and we got a lot of clearing to do. It's and then in Alpena, I've got some friends. They're still without power in their section, more than half of it.
Yeah.
So that's like 14 days now. But a lot of volunteers up there. We got reports in that a lot of people are feeding the crews, bathing them, doing laundry for these guys. So the towns have really stepped up, and there's a lot of people from down here that tried to get up there.
I love that. We tried to find a crew. Yeah. We actually went and got a 12-pack of Two Hard and a 15-pack of Coors Light. Couldn't find the crew that we were trying to get it to for the work that they did.
No?
No, but we'll get it to them. 248-539-9797. If you have property up north, what is your story? It is devastating. It is. I mean, some people's yards that they've had these big, beautiful pine trees. That was a big part of their property. Just, they're gone. They're down.
Last year when I had the tree come down in my backyard and smash my fence up, it was also, you know, a tree that was akin to my neighbor behind me.
Yeah.
He had his whole back part of the property was lined by all these trees. He had to take them all down.
Yeah.
Had to have them all cut down. And, yeah, that changes everything. I mean, now there, because there was, in terms of like privacy, if you will, between the two houses, it's like there was nothing there. And he's, look, we're friendly, so it's fine. But he ended up having to replant a bunch of like pine trees, Christmas tree type trees that are up there now all along the fence line. But it was a serious undertaking. And over the last couple of years, he's just lost all of his trees.
97-1 the ticket.
Hey, if you got any problems with your garage door, you've got to call the great folks over at Precision Garage Door Service. They know exactly what they're doing. They're going to fix any problems you have. And the best news is, if you're looking for garage doors, this is the place to call as well. They have an amazing deal where they offer the industry's leading warranty, which is exactly what you want. It's called the Precision Promise. And with these garage doors, they can get installed in as little as 24 hours in some cases, because they've got a warehouse that holds a bunch of these garage doors. They came out to my house a couple years ago. We picked out the perfect doors for my house. They walked me through all the different options I could go with, and I could not be happier with the choices that I made. I think you should call them as well. 1-800-DOOR-REPAIR or visit them at precisiondoormi.com and schedule that appointment.
get to some Lions stuff later this hour. A couple of interesting names. Very curious on the pre-draft visit list. 248-539-9797. That's later this hour. We're talking about, we just got back from being up north this weekend. We didn't have time to talk about it yesterday. Going, you know, visiting up north, west coast of our state, we take advantage of this great state. And I'm warning you, when you go up there, if you haven't been up there yet, or if you have a place up there, it might be different. But it's just like, you know, a tornado, like who, you know, God's, you know, nature, Mother Nature struck some areas really hard, and it's act of God that other areas did not get hit. And for us, there was quite a bit of damage around us, and there was quite a bit of damage, a lot of trees that fell. Fortunately, nothing fell that did any damage to our house. It's going to take time and money to clear stuff, and it is what it is. But I guess after being up there, I feel lucky. I also warn people, if you got a favorite golf course, expect it to be different. Expect it to look different. Now, maybe, again, you're in an area that act of God was unscathed, but I'm going to guess the Boyne Highlands courses look different, and everything in that Petoskey Harbor Springs area, which is a really popular place to play. When we got closer to Gaylord coming back on M32, that was the worst devastation that I saw.
So what if it kept going towards the east, if it affected like treetops and Garland?
The story I was reading today said the area northeast of Gaylord, it was worse, which is right in there.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's something. Martin, you're on 97.1 The Ticket. Martin, put us on hold.
All right.
We'll go back to Martin. Rob, you're on 97.1 The Ticket. Hi, Rob.
Hi there, guys. Hey, listen, we got a family farm up there down the south end of Torch Lake, and it's really north of Mansalona is when you start seeing things along 131. But I just want to let you guys know, the Twin Birch Golf Club in Kalkaska is providing free meals to all the power workers up there.
Oh, that's cool.
So they've been serving a bunch of guys every day now for about the last week. But it's a great thing that they're doing for the community up there.
I the amount of people that are working on this, it's stunning. There were multiple times that we were driving and we saw more utility trucks than anything else, more than cars. There was utility trucks everywhere. So there's probably a lot of people coming in. This is, you know, from out of state and out of the region to help. So that's cool.
This ice storm went all the way through. I got a buddy who's got a peach farm north of Toronto, and it's like they've been without power now for almost 10 days.
Wow.
And devastation, not only in northern Michigan, but across the Lake Huron in Ontario, is just as bad.
Wow. Thanks, Rob. 248-539-9797. Randy is next on 97.1 The Ticket. Hi, Randy.
Hey, good morning, guys. Good morning. I live in Harbor Springs, right downtown.
Okay.
And it was a complete war zone. It was like rifle season for Saturday night and Sunday night. When it hit, you would hear a crack every 30 seconds, like a gun going off. And a lot of people came together. I just got back into my house after 12 days, 2 days ago. But I can't tell you how the community has rallied around this. And the linemen, somebody should hold a party for these guys when it's all done. I'm with Great Lakes Energy. They typically replace about 800 poles a year. They've already replaced 1,400 poles in 2 weeks. Wow. And the people without power, all the cities have power, but the people without power are the people that have poles, where the poles are through the woods on either two tracks or just a rough cut trail. And if they're down, the linemen can't even get in to replace them now. It's so muddy and the ice, you know, everything's just thawing out. So they're telling people over in Lewiston by Garland and that it could be another 4 weeks before they can get in and get them done.
Wow.
In answer to your question about will the trees survive, I heard a really good arborist immediately out of Newberry up in the UP. So I got my stuff done right away. But they're telling me all these, the maple, you can't top a maple. If you top a maple more than 4 feet, it's going to die. So maple syrup's going to become at a real premium up here. A lot of spouts. My buddy just invested $10,000 into a machine to make maple syrup, and he lost all his maples. But there are certain trees, if you've got like 30 to 40%, even on an oak or an elm or whatever, it will not survive. So, yes, it looks totally different. I was at Boyne Highlands yesterday, and you won't recognize it. It's just insane. I was in an EF3 tornado in Fort Myers 5 years ago. This is far worse. The dwelling damage isn't as bad. because very few trees came out by the root ball. They just dropped huge limbs. So they fell straight down and not on houses. I'd say only maybe 10 or 15% of the houses have any damage, but the landscape looks totally, totally different.
Isn't it weird? It is so weird. Like, you mentioned Boyne Highlands. When we drove through there, I'm like, oh my God, I can see all those holes from the road. Like, they used to be hidden from behind trees, and the trees are gone. It's so, so strange. Thank you for the update, Randy. 248-539-9797. Ken is next on 97.1 The Ticket. Hi, Ken.
Hello, gentlemen.
Hey.
So I have a place in Lewiston, Michigan, and I am probably 3 minutes from Garland Golf Course. A lot of people know Garland Golf Course there.
Yep.
And this is be week three that we're out of power, but the area is so devastated. But like the previous people have said, people come together up there. We're from downstate here, but I was up last weekend and took some supplies and other people, and the town is rallying together, you know, bringing supplies. I mean, these poor people, you know, everybody up there is on a well. You don't have power. You don't have water. And so you don't have heat. You don't have water. You can't cook. You can't flush a toilet. It's a struggle still. And power's coming back on shortly. We're still out in my area. But like everybody's saying, the people really rally and pull them together. And yeah, it is, like you said, it's just war zone.
It's wild. And it's going to impact, whether it's impacting you because you have property up there or you vacation up there. You know, I'm just having gotten a chance to get up there. Be prepared. Your area, wherever you like to go, maybe it did get unscathed, but in others, it's strange. Yeah,
get used to the sound of chainsaws and wood chippers for the next couple months.
248-539-9797. Two very curious names on the Lions pre-draft visit list, what they could mean. We will get to that today at 12:46. It is Carson Anderson on 97.1 The Ticket.
When it comes to your lawn, you want the green and lush lawn that they're the envy of the neighborhood, right? Here's what you do to ensure that. Call Natural Way Lawn and Tree Service and get green and stay green with Natural Way. 888-GET-GREEN is a telephone number, or go to naturalwaylawn.com. And for a limited time only, you purchase a full lawn program and you get free grub control. But you got to mention me, Gator, and the station 97.1 The Ticket. And you don't want to wait. You got to take care of things right away. And frankly, when you take care of things right away, you save money when you prepay. Call by the end of the month, you get the early bird discount. Natural Way's got the best offer for the complete season. It's absolutely fantastic. You want to make sure that you take care of not only the grubs where you get the free grub control, but also take care of crabgrass. You see crabgrass in the summer? It's too late to fix that problem. You should have taken care of it right here and right now. That first application is the most important, and why not get it done exactly right now? Natural Way uses fewer chemicals, environmentally sound practices. Each lawn is assigned its own specialist, which is great because they're certified applicators and arborists that'll come out and custom tailor solutions specifically for your yard and your home. It's a company that's been around for over 35 years. It's a company I've trusted for nearly a dozen years now with my yard, and they offer the 100% satisfaction guaranteed. Give them a call, 888-GET-GREEN, or go to naturalwaylawn.com.
So, look, I wanted to bring this up just because I'd heard about the ice storm. And I heard that, you know, it's a historic 100-year storm and stuff. But didn't realize what we were getting into till we drove up there on Saturday. And one of the texters wrote in, "Hey, Doug, aren't you surprised there's not enough news coverage? The damage up there in some areas is so intense. It's like a war zone." I mean, that's part of the reason why I bring attention to it is this is going to impact a lot of people either now or later this summer. Whether if you own a spot there, and you there's a chance you're going to have to deal with the damage or the downed trees, removing them. If you vacation up there and you've got a spot you've always gone to, there's a good chance it's going to look different. There's a good chance that they suffered some damage. Maybe they did, maybe they didn't. I can't speak to everyone. I do know that going up 75 to Indian River, exit 310, and across, it was south of Gaylord where I first looked and said, oh, that was a curious decision of this person to clear out all their trees right next to the highway. And then I thought, oh, wait, because I didn't expect to see ice damage south of, it was actually south of Grayling where I first noticed it. And I'm like, huh. And then as you started getting further and further north, it was clear that they had cleared a ton of trees along 75. You get up to 310, you go across to, you know, the Petoskey Harbor Springs area. There was, I mean, it just looked different. And some of the houses along there, people's property there, they have beautiful, tall, old trees gone. 248-539-9797. Let's go to Pat. You're next on 97.1 The Ticket. Hi, Pat.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Okay.
So I'm from Petoskey originally. So I was up, I have a brother that still lives there, about 4 miles directly out East Mitchell. And he was without power for 4 days. He's 92, and I was up there to kind of take care of him, move some trees around and stuff like that. Then I have some property over in Hillman, which for those that don't know, Hillman's about 20 miles west of Alpena, and I'm 20 minutes out in the middle of no place, north and west of town. And I access my property off a two-track and a dirt road.
Wow.
I had to walk a mile and a half from where these trees were down across the dirt road every 15 to 20 feet. Okay, and it would extend down to the dead end, which is about 3.5 miles. Then there's another, you know, dirt road that would go across. I don't know when they're ever going to get that place open. I talked to my neighbor last Friday. He finally had power after 2 weeks. But unless you could actually see, I mean, it's not like sometimes you see a storm go through and it's spotted. These trees were all covered with ice, 1.5 to 2 inches thick on branches, 2 to 4 inches thick on flat areas. I never seen anything like it in my life.
So somebody showed us a picture. We were up there, and they told us a story about it. It sounded like gunshots going off as trees came down. They showed us a picture of a fence. The fence was covered in ice. It looked like just a fence made out of ice. It was iced up completely. And, you know, it's like stuff you've just never seen before.
Yeah, picture a whole forest that looks like that, and that's what my property looks like. The good news is, you know, grace of God, my cabin wasn't affected and my solar panels wasn't affected when I was up there 2 weeks ago. I'm on my way up there today to see if there's any other damage. But I was fortunate. Lots of trees down, but not touched.
Yeah. Thank you, Pat. 248-539-9797.
You know, you think about it, you mentioned it sounds like gunshots. I don't think that's exaggeration at all. When you consider if you just grab a branch that you can break over your knee or with your hands, the sound that makes. You know, now think about a same branch that is 10 or 15, 20 times the circumference of the branch you broke, but it's breaking from a tree because of the heavy ice and the sound that's going to make, and then it's going to fall and hit other branches are going to break. It's got to be unbelievable.
Mark is next on 97.1 The Ticket. Hi, Mark.
Hi, how are you, gentlemen?
Okay.
So I've had 550 acres up in Atlanta, which is halfway between Alpena and Gaylord, and I went up about 3 days after the storm. First of all, driving up 33, it was like a winter wonderland with all this ice on the trees. Everything was glimmering. But every power line up 33 from Mayo up to Atlanta, broken, poles snapped. It was insane. And when I got up there, I heard that it was going to be cold, so I had to shut the water off and empty the freezer. And I ended up spending the night. Of course, I had no heat, so I had to sleep in front of the fireplace. And all my thermostats were pegged at 40, so they, you know, it must have been 35 in the cabin. That was a joke. And I have a lumberer on the property, and we were driving around, and we had taken about a third of the trees down just to clear out most of the property. And now we have to go back and cut more because so many trees that we left standing are snapped. The tops are off or the trees are snapped in half. It's just unbelievable. I've never seen anything like it.
It's crazy. I mean, and you know, it's the guy just called from Hillman. You're in Atlanta. You know, I got over to Elmira. These are massive, massive footprints up north. You know, that's just across sort of that. That's the Gaylord east-west line, but we got up as, like I said, as far as exit 310 Indian River, and about what, I don't know what that is, 40, 50 miles north of there.
I can't believe that they haven't declared an emergency up there with FEMA. It's like a joke.
Well, I think they're trying.
Yep.
Yeah. Trying to negotiate that, but yeah, it's a horrible situation up there.
Well, look, best of luck to everybody, and you know, I don't, the one guy who said I didn't know what to expect. And when I got up there, I was surprised at how bad the damage was. And I know you still go up, not as much as you used to, but it's tough.
Yeah. It's tough. And look, it's all throughout the state, whether it's the trees up north or it was the flooding in Detroit that they had that is taken forever to get done. And it's these natural disasters are just, yep, incredible of what they can do. And the thing is, so another part that's a bummer about it is that when it first happens, when the ice first comes and forms, it's beautiful.
That's what, you know what? And that's what the initial reaction, everything was,
this looks amazing. And then it's like, wait a minute, it's not getting any warmer. That ice is only getting heavier and heavier, or it's piling on. It's getting more and more icy. And then the trees start to break and then it's bad.
I am Mr. Winter Wonderland. I love all that stuff. But I also would have been the dummy that was all excited, not realizing what was coming.
I wonder what it's like on the, you're probably not going skiing anymore, but what the ski trails would be like.
So we got an email from Nubs Knob, and they had sent out pictures of all the trees that fell on a lot of their ski runs. And they said, look, we're going to clear these out and we'll be open. This was prior to, not this past weekend, but I think it was the weekend before. They said, we're going to be open, but we got a lot of work to do to clean these out. So please bear with us. And so, yeah, I mean, all the snowmobilers, although most of that season's over. Yeah. So anyway, something that just to keep in mind next time you're heading up north. It's Carson Anderson here on 97.1 The Ticket. So Tigers with a win. Jack Flaherty on the hill tonight, trying to follow up Scooble's dominating performance yesterday. Boy, it's fun when you have good starting pitching, isn't it, Scott? And you can follow up one really good pitcher with another really good pitcher.
It's a lot of fun, Doug.
Yep.
When you're starting a series, I mean, because all you want to do is win a series.
You keep doing that.
And when you got Tarek Skubal and Jack Flaherty, you have a good chance of winning a series when they go back to back. So off to a phenomenal start this year. The Tigers are 10-6. They're scoring runs in bunches. They score them early in games and just kind of, you know, take the will from the opposition. You think you're going to be in a game, next thing you know, you're down 4-0 after two innings. Yep. Oh, there's an error, should have made the double play, get out of it, and there's four more to play to cross the board. It's 8-0 in the fifth or sixth or whatever it was.
Tigers rolled last night. It felt like they were better than Milwaukee at the plate, on the hill, in the field, in every way. Now they go for game two, and as Leland used to say, momentum's only as good as your next day starter. Our next day starter has an ERA of 1.62 here through three starts.
Yeah, and they're going to counter with a right-handed pitcher, so that means you're going to go with a heavy left-handed lineup, which means certainly Kerry Carpenter, but Riley Green and Colt Keith, you would imagine, are in this lineup. These are two guys that have got to get going, and what better way than to throw them out there against righties.
Talk some Lions. Curious stuff going on with their pre-draft visits. Two guys, and if they're on the board and the Lions take them, I think everybody would go, wait, what? We'll get to that today at 12:46 here on Carson Anderson on 97.1 The Ticket.
Hey, looking to upgrade your outdoor space? Well, Builders First Source has you covered. With four Metro Detroit locations, they specialize in top-quality composite decking. Brands that you trust, brands like Trex and TimberTech and AZEX. Whether you're a DIY enthusiast or you need a certified installer, their expert team will help you build the perfect deck that stands the test of time. Visit one of their locations today in Lapeer, Auburn Hills, Clinton Township, or Shelby Township and discover why Builders First Source is your go-to for decking. Quality, service, and unbeatable value, that's the Builders First Source promise. Search buildersfirstsource.com.
Doug Carr, Scott Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. Kang's behind the glass. Kenny answering phones. Evan running around the building. Stoney's here. He's filling in for Lenny this week.
Are you sure? Is Stoney just here?
You never know with Stoney, but I'm pretty sure he's filling in all week. But anyway, so I want to get back to some sports stuff. Thank you for all your calls and discussing the damage up north. And just brace yourself if you're headed up there at some point. And maybe, hopefully, you went relatively unscathed. So I was looking at this pre-draft visit list for the Detroit Lions. There are two guys. You know, the use of the list, and you see names on here, and you go, okay, Josiah Stewart from Michigan, for instance. Okay, you bring in a player that you might have access to in the second or third round, right? Gray Zabel has been a player that's been projected to Detroit at 28. Anthony Belton, the offensive lineman out of NC State, another player that could be on the board for Detroit. Derek Harmon, Tyreek Williams. Those are guys that could be there at 28. Then you start getting into Ruben Hippolyte from Maryland. That could be second, third round pick. Lan Larrison, the running back, late round pick out of UC Davis. Like, you see them bringing in guys that aren't necessarily, that they aren't necessarily targeting at 28. And then you see guys that they could be targeting at 28. And then you see guys that it makes you wonder, are the mock drafts that far off? And are they really considering this guy? And one of those names is wide receiver Matthew Golden out of Texas. We brought this up yesterday when it was reported that he would be visiting with the Detroit Lions. If they were to draft Matthew Golden at 28, and let's be clear here, they're either moving up to get Matthew Golden, or based upon the inexact science of mock drafts, it would be a pretty big stunner if he were still on the board at 28.
Yeah, he's a first-round selection all day. A lot of people have him as the number two wide receiver in the draft, mm-hmm. or certainly the top three. He ran a 4.29 40. So that's the eye-popping stuff that makes you go, wait a minute, how about this guy? But do the Lions need a wide receiver? They don't necessarily. I mean, you could draft one later in the later rounds. I wouldn't have a problem with that, but I certainly wouldn't look at one at 28. So why are they looking at Matthew Golden, bringing him in for a visit when you're limited on the visits? Why do this?
There has to be a circumstance. You have to be preparing for some circumstance.
Well, if, let's say, does that mean you're going to trade Jameson Williams?
Well, I mean, it could. It would seem to me rather unlikely, given that Jameson Williams can be here for another 2 years at a relatively cheap cost, as opposed to if you wanted to go out and get a free agent. They don't need the money immediately, unless they're trying to clear some cap space for something else. But Golden doesn't even seem like a likely candidate to be on the board at 28.
No, so he does not.
If you're going to move on, it would almost likely have to be a trade up to get access to Matthew Golden. Now, then it just comes down to, okay, here's the logic. He's in that, as the term that Brad Holmes uses, is buckets. What if, in his view, Matthew Golden is in that bucket of elite, immediate difference makers, and that there's only six of those, and yet he thinks they could have access to him? And you start thinking, okay, what would make logical sense? Does it make logical sense to be bringing in Matthew Golden when almost no mock draft has him there at 28? Does it make logical sense to bring in Matthew Golden when you have three guys coming back that started last year on the best offense in the NFL? They're all back. Some of them should be getting better. What would make sense? The only thing to me that would make sense is if you truly are in the best player available place, without projecting some wild trade scenarios. I mean, we could project some wild trade scenarios, but none of that seems very likely, that he's just simply in that top bucket of players that they think is an immediate impact kind of guy. And they wouldn't say no to him if he were on the board. I mean, what else could it be?
Well, the only thing I can think of is that, like I said, it's if you're going to trade Jameson Williams.
Yeah.
You know, a team would have him for this year, and then a team would have to pick up the fifth-year option for him. So you'd get J-Mo for 2 years at a reasonable price at a guy who's proven in the league that he is absolutely a difference maker when you get the ball in his hands. I don't think that there's any reason to even just doing due diligence. I'm not taking a wide receiver at 28, and I'm sure as hell not moving up to take a wide receiver. So unless they think that he could slip it past the first round, which I don't think that's even – I don't understand this.
Yeah.
To me, it just seems like a wasted visit. There's no question he's got talent and, okay, best player available and stuff like that. It sounds great, and the bucket sounds like a nice theory, but are you telling me that nobody else is going to be available at 28 that makes any sense?
The amount of money that you would save on moving on from Jameson Williams' contract and going to a rookie contract, his cap hit is $5.4 million this year.
J-Mo, and then it jumps J-Mo. Up to $14 million next year.
A player, this is a quick Google search. A player selected at 28 has a contract valued at $5.7 million. So a rookie 3 years later at 28 is going to, I mean, that's his annual thing. I don't know what the cap hit would be. But it doesn't even look like, we're not even sure it would be a savings. It would be long term because you wouldn't have to pick up the fifth year and pay for him beyond that. You'd be restarting a clock. But why would they be looking at Matthew Golden? Kang, do you have any theories on why they're looking at Matthew Golden?
I think every visit they do is intentional. And now Brad Holmes has said this, you know, before in moves in general. Everything we do is intentional. There's a reason behind it. So I don't think, I think there's serious interest in receiver Matthew Golden. Now there's, I would pick up Jameson Williams' fifth year option, yeah. But they haven't yet. And it's feasible they won't. And they cannot extend all the players they have due for huge extensions. They just cannot. It's the cap. I know if you think it's fake or whatever, it's, at some point it does get you where you're going to lose a player or two. Jameson Williams is on that list with Laporta, Kirby Joseph, Brian Branch. There's a ton of them, right, guys? Now, I do believe there is a little bit of smoke here, though, because you have to let other teams know that you could be interested in them. But even though I do kind of think there is serious interest, because you don't know how the draft's going to go. And I think Brad Holmes, I truly believe this as of right now, that they're not going to pick at 28, okay? Whether that's move up or move back, I don't think that the draft's going to shake up the way. I think they're targeting guys that they might move up for, and I think Matthew Golden's going to be gone before 28. So if they do have some interest in him, they got to gauge if they want to move up for him.
So here's the other thing, too. Correct me if I'm wrong. Smoke screens are a big part of all this. But you don't use a top 30 pick to create a smokescreen.
No, that's why I think that's just a little bit of smokescreen to it. I think this is intentional. I think they have serious interest in them. But it doesn't hurt to let other teams know this, though. You know what I mean? Sometimes you want to keep things a secret, right? I think this is one of those where he's like, I don't care if people know. Because you better be on your toes. If you want them, go get them. And that moves the defensive player down to you.
I think smokescreen is a big part of it. I think the other thing that could be in this is that you're getting intel on other Texas players. You bring a guy in for a smokescreen purpose, and then all, and then, oh, by the way, hey, well, I want to ask you about, you know, about Banks, the offensive lineman. What can you tell us about him, or what can you tell us about Gunnar Helm, the tight end?
I don't know that you'd use a top 30 visit.
I can't imagine. I'm just searching for.
We're spitballing ideas here.
I don't think this is somebody they even consider at 28.
Let's go to Sheldon Lavonia on 97 on the ticket. Hi, Sheldon.
Hey. What I think is not a smoke screen at all. I think what it might be is if you want to replace Jameson without re-signing him, you get another speedster receiver and you trade Jameson and maybe the 28th and you move up to whatever they think, you know, they can still have him and you replace Jameson. Now you got less of a headache and you have two or three more years before you have to re-sign your speedster receiver. I think it's a strategic, let's trade a speed receiver for the speed receiver difference maker for a difference maker. And then, you know, this is less of having two or three more years before we have to re-sign that receiver.
I mean, it could be, although I would think if you're trying to win a Super Bowl now, you would rather have the bird in the hand than the one in the bush, than the two in the bush. And what I mean by that is, we know what Jameson Williams is. Matthew Golden, as talented and as excited as people are, anytime you try and replace a veteran guy with a rookie, you hope the rookie's as good, but you don't
and
know.
One more thing I want to say about that. When you talk about winning the Super Bowl, and the Lions, they love to take up for Jameson because he's a teammate, but maybe winning the Super Bowl, we get rid of this headache with all of these different issues and problems and not taking things as serious and get rid of him so we can win a Super Bowl and him not be a liability somewhat.
Well, you, Sheldon, you've strongly played the J-Mo's got off the field problems card, and I don't think it's as weighty as he thinks.
Yeah, I don't think he's got off the field problems. I think he is
some maturity issues.
A maturity issue. That's all.
But now, could they know? There's always the moment where you go, "Oh, could there be other issues?" I suppose, but that's just probably irresponsible speculation.
I don't think it's off the field. I think it's contract. I think this guy, if he performs the way we think he can, and I think he can, he's going to cost a ton of money.
Not for the next 2 years.
No, I mean, it's like you said, it's like $5 million this
year.
Eventually. It's $14 million for the fifth-year pickup. And then if you're going to sign to an extension, you're talking $30 million a year.
Yeah, I would.
And that's, they're not going to sign
him. I would just ride it out with him and then let him go.
I'm not opposed to that either.
Yeah. 248-539-9797. He wasn't the only curious name.
No?
There's another one. I want to get to that at 102 here on 97.1.